Okay, so I think we can probably start. So I was going to talk today about one of the other contemplations that is often found in the suttas, and this is the contemplation of death. And all of these, the purpose of all these contemplations is just to prepare the mind, to get the mind ready, to get rid of defilements, to get rid of any problems that are there, that allows you to focus on the breath, to give rise to mindfulness, and then to allows you from there on to focus on the breath. Before I start off, I just want to say that there are people who feel uncomfortable about thinking or reflecting on death. And if you are one of those people who find that hard and difficult and uncomfortable, then please don't do it. You have to, in a sense, you have to guide yourself. You have to know what is what works for you, what doesn't work, what feels right and what doesn't feel right. And only if it feels right, only if it feels like it's moving you in the right direction, it doesn't give rise to fear or anxiety or all kind of problems, only if it works, then you should use these kind of reflections. And the idea with the reflection of death, on death, is that, again, it's to purify the mind. Because once you get your mind around the idea that you're going to die, then that puts everything in a beautiful perspective. It makes it very clear that all the desires, all the attachments that are connected with this world, basically they are useless. Why attach to something if you're going to have to give it up? If the idea, if you actually get it into your mind that you can die at any time, and that you definitely will die sooner or later, and that takes away so much of the attachments and desires concerned with this world. And with that also goes out of the window the annoyance, the angers and irritation, all those things. And with that also usually the other defilements or hindrances like restlessness or tiredness, etc., all these things tend to go out at the same time. So it can be, if used wisely, it can be very powerful, a very powerful tool. And it certainly occurs in the suttas again and again in many different places. So how do we do this? Now, usually you do this at the beginning of your meditation because you realize that your mind is not ready, you don't feel at peace, or you feel that, you know, something isn't quite right. So you do something to stabilize the mind, to bring mindfulness up, to make it sharp. And this is where this kind of contemplation comes in. Do it while walking, if you like. You can do it before you sit down or even while you sit down. It's really up to you. And the one of the main things here is to remind yourself, is to bring that sense of death into the present moment. In other words, the sense that this could happen at any time, it could happen now. And one way of doing that, one of the very simple ways, is just to remind yourself of all the different ways in which you could die now, soon, tomorrow, the next hour. And just to make it very clear that this actually is a reality. It's not something which is theoretical. It is actually something that can happen at any time. Heart attack, and suddenly you discover you have an illness which you didn't know about. You walk into the street and some random driver just mows you down. These things happen all the time. And it could happen to us. It could happen to me. So it is very easy to foresee circumstances in which you could die almost at any time. And this becomes then, if you bring that into the, if you're able to make that thought a very powerful one, then it becomes very clear. And then that has the effect on the mind that it starts to reduce the defilements and reduce the problems that otherwise arise. Another way of doing this, the death contemplation, is to imagine yourself on your deathbed. It doesn't matter why you're dying. It could be maybe you've been in an accident or an illness or whatever. But imagine yourself on your deathbed. You're about to die. You won't have any chance to meet anybody else again, any family members, any enemies, or anyone for that matter. You've got maybe a few hours left to live, and that's it. Imagine that. And make it a very, very vivid imagination. And what does that feel like? And sometimes what that feels like, you start to think, oh no, I should have said something to this person or that person, because there are maybe some unfinished business somewhere. And straight away, if you feel that you should have said somebody to somebody, then you know that there's something that you need to sort out in your life. get it sorted out, get it out of the way. Straight away you understand that there is something, some personal relationships or whatever, that you need to sort out before you are actually ready to go basically onto the next world. And that is already a very useful reminder. Yeah? But the other thing is just the feeling. See what it feels like. If you haven't got that, what does it feel like if you're lying on your deathbed? Yeah? And what it should feel like is like it should be a sense of freedom, whereby you are giving up all the things of this world, and suddenly this liberation comes about, because now for the first time you're actually forced to, you're faced with death, and you're forced to give all these things up, all the relationships, all the friends, the family, the desires, the angers. Suddenly it is so clear that you're going to have to die that it becomes natural to put all these things aside. And if that contemplation works properly, you will feel a sense of freedom inside of you, a sense of liberation, a sense of just letting go of all that stuff. And then, once you have that imagination in your mind, you have to bring that into the present. It could be now. I could be, so to speak, on my deathbed right here, right now. I just don't know it yet. Things can happen at any time. And then when you bring it into the present moment, you bring that feeling with you into the here and now, into the meditation, and then you will find that you have a sense of freedom when you actually do your meditation object, which might be the breath or loving kindness or whatever it is, and then it will go much deeper than it otherwise would go. And that is the power of the death contemplation when done properly. But like with many things, many contemplation is something that you have to practice with, something that you have to get used to get your mind around this idea of death, so that it actually becomes a power in the present moment. And only when you develop these things over time, like everything else, only then does it become a powerful tool that you can actually use, almost at will sometimes, if it is the right time and right place. So, that is just a very brief instruction on the idea of death. So, maybe that might be something you can try, but again, only do it if you feel comfortable about it. Only then, otherwise it will be more disturbing than it is beneficial. Okay, so let's try to do some meditation together. And just start out as usual, just make sure that you are nice and comfortable. We'll be sitting for maybe about 45 minutes or so. So make sure that you're comfortable, that you can sit for those 45 minutes. And as always, if you have any tensions in the body, anything else which shows you that you're not really relaxed, the first thing is always to release that tension and to find a very easy posture of the body, which feels very nice and comfortable and at ease. And in the beginning of meditation, as always, just be the passive observer. Just allow things to go through you, just like the wind going through the trees, things coming and things disappearing. Nothing to do except observing what's going on. If you want to follow this advice, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But try to imagine yourself that you're going to die, let's say within a few hours. And within that period of time, you won't be able to meet anybody. No person, you're just by yourself. At the end of those few hours or whatever it is, that's it. It's the end of your life. Make that a reality. Make it as real as possible that this is what's going to happen. One day it will happen. You might as well make it real now. And see if that has an effect on your mental state. See what happens. quite literally about to leave this world. There is no business at all in this world for you anymore. And because you are going to leave this world, there's no business of you anywhere, for anybody, anything. What a wonderful freedom that is. if the meditation works, then you should start to become more peaceful. Just allow that peace to deepen and deepen. And eventually, when the breath arises by itself in your perception, and gently place the attention on the breath, and then let it go from there. And if it becomes unpeaceful again, then go back to the peace you had before, and allow the breath to arise all by itself. Okay, any questions, any comments? Yes, you.
Yes, Ajahn. Just contemplating death, you said there are different ways that we might die. But I was just thinking it might be, or if you're going to contemplate it, to contemplate having a peaceful death, not a violent death. Perhaps.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, you don't have to actually, you know, visualize the scene. It doesn't matter. All you know is that you're dying. You know, whatever led up to that is really irrelevant. But you know that this is it. You know, the end is near. You know that this, you know, you don't have a chance to talk to anybody, to see anything. So basically, you're heading straight towards your death. And everything, the whole world has become completely irrelevant for you. That's the main point, that the world has become irrelevant. Exactly what led to that point is not, doesn't really matter. I agree with you. You don't have to visualize any gory details, anything like that, for sure. So, yeah. That's the idea. Anything else? Anybody here? Yes, sir. Bobby. Yeah.
Initially, when I tried to imagine the situation of death, and when I've tried it in the past, it doesn't seem real. Although I did have a feeling of peace and happiness, but it didn't seem real. So then I created a car accident where I went around the corner and was flattened by a bus. But
yeah.
No. Details, and then I've had a very hot sensation in my back, but once again, it is hard to make it real.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think one of the things that I sometimes do, I tell myself that one day it is going to be real. One day is going to be my last day here, and I don't know when that's going to be here. So if I'm not prepared now, I will likely not be prepared then when it actually happens. It could be now, it could be today here. So I say to myself, well, this is the time to be prepared, basically. There's no other time. This is either now or never. And that I find it sort of helps me to guide me in the right direction, to bring up the sensation that death is actually, it is imminent. It could happen at any time. But basically what you have to do is these things take practice. You know, you really have to be, you have to sort of do it again and again and again. And after a while, you actually get into the habit where you realize, you know, you could actually be dead in 2 hours. It actually is real. It's not just an imagination. It actually is a fact that you could be dead in 2 hours. And when that bite really starts to bite, that's when, you know, it hits home. And then you sort of start to let go, in a sense. So that is the trick to actually, as you're quite right, the trick is to make it real. So you're probably on the right track already when you think of yourself going down the road, having a car accident, and, you know, that being it. That's probably, you know, you're moving in the right direction, in a sense. Try that again. And sometimes you have to do also, the thing is also that after a while, it's like with all meditation techniques, after a while they get a bit blunt. It's like you have tried it too many times, and it's like you've gone into a habit rather than actually thinking fresh thoughts. And because you go into a habit, it doesn't really work anymore. So you have to create a new scenario, look at things in a different way. So you've got to be a bit creative and a bit fresh in your thinking about these things as well. Okay, I've got to. Anything else? Yes, at the back there. Jerry.
Ajahn Brahmali, thank you. There are people in your life that you need to say things to that may not be necessarily amenable to talking or discussing anything that you might want to say. What is the best way to deal with that? To make an effort with them, or to just do it in another way?
It really depends. Sometimes you're right, sometimes it is very hard. And if it is very hard, all you really have to do is you have to forgive them and forgive yourself in your own heart. If you can do that, that's good enough. So, you know, you just say, well, you have tried your best with this person, it hasn't worked out, but at least you can say truthfully inside of yourself, I forgive you, and please forgive me as well. And that, you know, with that, and that's where you can actually end a lot of the problem and the suffering, I think.
Thank you.
Make sense? Yeah? Okay. Good. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay. I got a couple of ones come over the internet as well. One is from Na in Adelaide. And she, how to deal with the constant thoughts of death. Okay, well, if you have constant thoughts of death, it probably is slightly, it's probably the opposite you should be doing in that case. You probably shouldn't be thinking of death at all. Because if they're constantly there, it probably means it has become an obsession in your mind. And maybe there's linked with fear, linked with some kind of trauma, linked with some psychological, maybe slight imbalance or something. So in that case, it's probably better not to think about death and instead to do things like metta meditation, to have more kindness and compassion for yourself. Because what you need in that case, you need to overcome the obsession. And that comes through kindness and through metta rather than contemplating death. So in that case, forget about the death contemplation. Do something else instead. That's what I suggest. And then there is one from Bulgaria, from Veselin from Bulgaria. I apologize about the pronunciation. And he or she says, what are Ajahn thoughts on lying down meditation? Any tips or advices? Thank you. Well, the thing about meditation practice is always to remember about the middle way, right? The middle way means you're not hurting the body, you're not going into the self-mortification where you have a lot of pain. This is one wrong extreme, and the other one is too much indulgence. And the danger with lying down is that it's too much indulgence, too relaxed. And the way you know that it's too much indulgence is because the mind goes out to the body rather than staying inside. Rather than focusing inside, it goes out to the body. So you have to find the middle way. So if you find that you're so comfortable that you're actually indulging in the sensation of lying there, being comfortable, that's when you have to be careful. But if you're able to find a lying posture, you're lying on a surface which isn't too soft, which is just right, and you're not indulging in that, then lying down is perfectly okay. It's perfectly acceptable. There's a famous monk in Thailand who was once asked how he meditates, and he said he lies down, because then you don't do anything. You're not actually doing anything at all. And he says, "Well, don't you fall asleep when you lie down?" And he says, "No, that would be doing something." So he's just pure awareness, just pure mindfulness when he lies down. So the body becomes very relaxed. But really, what you have to do, I recommend, is just try things out for yourself. And if you find that it works, then it works. If you find that you become too tired or whatever, then maybe you should do walking meditation or something else instead. So a lot of these things are about experimentation. What gives rise to mindfulness? What gives rise to that purity of mind? And that is what you want to go for. And that is what matters. So it's the result that is important in meditation, not the way we achieve the result. The way is decided by the result. And if the way leads to the right result, then it's the right way for you. Okay, so I hope that's helpful. So let's just pay homage to the Triple Gem.
Sorry.
Yeah, one more question. Okay.
Good afternoon, Ajahn. This is just an observation, Ajahn, not a question. Can you hear me? Sorry. This is just an observation, Ajahn, when I was doing the meditation. When I was doing the meditation, I felt very peaceful, which I was really surprised. And I found it really easy to go to the quiet space. Ooh, it was weird.
Okay.
And I was a bit anxious when I started because I wasn't sure what to expect. But I found it very, very peaceful and very, very comfortable.
Good. That's the idea.
Thank you for that. Because great. I had contemplated it, but not in meditation, and I found it very helpful. Thank you.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. Okay, so let's pay homage to Triple Gem.